This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us today, oh, she's been a good friend for a little while now. She is the president of Bonton Farms, Miss Gabe Madison. Bonton Farms, an amazing organic farm changing lives and systems of inequity in the heart of South Dallas. And the big news, I was minding my own business online, and I saw this in the headline, made my jaw drop, and I was so happy for you. Bonton Farms is opening up a store in DFW Airport. Congratulations, Gabe.
Thank you, Chris. We are super, super excited.
I bet you are. I bet you are. Please give us all the details about Bonton Farms. And I know this isn't going to like open up next month. It's going to take a few years because it's the it's the process and getting everybody involved. But can you give us some of the details? I got a million questions for you because this is a fantastic news for Bonton Farms.
Yeah. So we, like I said, we're super excited. This was not really on our radar, but what always is something we are considering is how do we, number one, increase the social enterprises, because that's providing more job opportunities for community members of Bonton. And it's also providing more awareness about the great work that we're doing in the community to others. And we thought that this was just a great contextual point to be in, so that we could, to the travelers that are coming all across the DFW airport, they are the actual third largest airport in the world. Mm-hmm. So in understanding that, we thought this would be a great opportunity to bring more awareness and, of course, provide job opportunities for our great community members. And we're partnering with W.H. Smith, who has great locations across the world in various airports to make this all come alive. So as many of your listeners know, the DFW Airport expansion is happening. That will also occur in Terminal A, which is where we will be located. And our
gate A17, in fact, I did my homework.
So we are super excited about what the team at DFW Airport, led by Kim Buchanan, is doing to not only increase concessions, but be intentional about community partnerships. They have done a remarkable job in increasing the awareness of community organizations, and will continue, because that is definitely how they are being more impactful to not only Dallas but Fort Worth as well. So we're very, very grateful for it.
Oh, I'm excited about all of this. And the great coach for the Cowboys back in the day, Jimmy Johnson, used to say, "There's no such thing as luck. It's when preparation meets opportunity." So you're basically kind of saying Bonton Farms recognized this particular opportunity. Let's talk about how this was presented to you guys and how it actually came about, because again, I'm just grinning just thinking about all of the win-win-wins for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I will say again, this was not on our radar.
Right.
This was something we did not have, you know, great knowledge of. The concession game is very different. It's not something that's going to be, you know, an everyday a talking point in the business world. And we were fortunate that another great partner of ours who's already in DFW Airport was asked for a referral, and she referred W.H. Smith to us to consider partnering with us on this opportunity. Wow. Now, this also does not happen overnight. This has been over a year-long process that we've been just trying to iron out the details and how this would all come together, and also us getting educated on what that would look like, what all are the stipulations in being in an airport, mm-hmm. and what are the opportunities, but also how do you navigate that type of business opportunity. So there's been a lot of things happening in the background prior to us being able to be recommended to be in the airport. And the day that we got the approval from the board of directors for DFW Airport was such a great day, because the board chair of DFW Airport is familiar with Bon-Ton Farms and the Bon-Ton community. So she was very elated to be able to make that announcement. And that just showcases the board's support, their involvement in the community. And I think that just speaks volumes about what DFW Airport is doing, because it is in itself a huge economic infrastructure for this area.
It really is. And again, Bon-Ton Farms, you guys are a farm that was started in South Dallas, in Bon-Ton, the area in particular, and you grow your own produce. So everything's completely fresh. But I understand in this particular venture at this outpost in DFW Airport, you're going to be partnering, or at least having some of the products of three Fort Worth based companies. Can you talk about that collaboration? Because I'm like, I'm just grinning. Like I said, I'm like, this is just so good for everybody involved.
Yeah. So W.H. Smith has been very intentional as well in making sure that they are collaborating and bringing other groups together, because, you know, sometimes we're running in our own lane, mm-hmm. and collaboration is difficult. But with a great organization like W.H. Smith, they've been able to curate all of us to come together, and it will be a Bon-Ton Farms branded location, but we will also have curated products from other great vendors and entrepreneurs that are coming out of Fort Worth. And we are excited for us all to get together, sample, taste, mm-hmm. everything that we're all doing. And this is going to be an ability for us to figure out how we can increase our partnerships even outside of DFW Airport.
What's so wild is, like I said, it's going to be various. Again, over time, you'll add more. You might change out some other ones. But the three mentioned out of Fort Worth are Sun's Coffee, a company that offers freshly brewed coffee, Let Us Cook with gourmet grab-and-go salads and sandwiches, Punny Hurl Spreads as a woman and minority-owned based business specializing in honey-based treats. And that kind of matches up with some of the stuff that you guys grow yourselves in South Dallas.
Yes, yes. So it's going to be a great partnership because of the various things that we're already doing, and mm-hmm. How we can infuse some of the expertise that each of us has in order to build better branding relationships, better products. So it's going to be pretty amazing.
It will be pretty amazing. And again, the expansion for the airport in Terminal A is going to be for about 26.
26,
which
yeah.
is actually like, people are, oh, that's down the road. No, that's actually just a little over a year from now. I mean, just a little over a year from now.
Yeah.
And
it looks like tomorrow for us.
I can imagine, because you're trying to get up, ramp it up and get up to speed with it. And I also thought about this as I was looking at this article. I was like, oh man, this is going to be like a win-win-win on so many different levels. And it includes the employment opportunities, because the one of the things I've always been impressed with at Bon-Ton Farms is you're able to employ a lot of people who have either farm skills or skills where they can cook or work in restaurants, whatever it is, right there in Bon-Ton Farms. But is that going to be an opportunity as well for, you know, maybe individuals who work for Bon-Ton, or maybe have not, but had never even set foot at the airport?
Yes, sir. That's exactly what this is about. And
Hey.
I'll tell you even longer range. Our real goal and a real intention is to see how we have helped community members and Bon-Ton become concession owners. You know,
Hey.
the
Ownership,
goal of
yes.
the goal of
Small
Bon-Ton
business,
Farms,
yes.
is really to transform. And any thriving community does not have a nonprofit at the helm. So eventually, our goal is to exit out of the community as a nonprofit organization and have the community be the sustainers. And they
There
can
you
become
go.
sustainers by being entrepreneurs, by being business owners in various rights. And we know that that's what thriving communities have. So increasing the commercial operations in Bon-Ton, but also increasing the opportunities for the community members to have higher livable wages is really what we're aspiring to do.
Oh, I love this. And again, this is long range. Again, the most successful companies in the world, they may have short range goals initially, but you also have to have a long range goal. And it may be some twists and turns along the way, but you try to project something to look forward to, and especially the different people involved. And I love the fact that you're empowering those in the community who want to start their own business and say, you know what? You could get the business acumen right here at Bon-Ton Farms, and then you could be self-sustainable.
You got it. That's what it is. It's about how do we continue to grow, not just products and produce, but how do we help grow people? And in that growth process, you know, it's also exposure. How do we expose people to new opportunities? I mean, I've been exposed to this DFW Airport piece, which is something that has, you know, enlightened me, and I want to continue to increase that exposure to the community members.
Well, let's go back to this DFW airport post just for a minute, and then we're going to go back into some history of Bon-Ton Farms for those who may not be familiar or need a refresher. Back to the post itself, the store. When they were talking to you about this, how much hesitancy was it on you guys' part? And then, because again, this is something you guys never even thought about or considered. And then, like you said, it's the third busiest, largest airport in the world. Not just people who come to DFW airport from all over the country, but from all over the world. And people like to get fresh products or something from that particular area. I mean, when I travel, I'm like, okay, I'm at the airport and I'm between flights or whatever, and I'm kind of looking at stuff that is local for that particular airport. I was actually stuck in Montreal last summer for a couple of hours with my family. And I'm like, okay, let me see what this airport in Montreal has. And so I could just see opportunity. You know, it's
You
like,
got
wait
it.
a minute, I could just see opportunity with all kinds of things where, you know, and it's not just, you know, the people that come through the airport right there. Well, guess what? In this day and age of online and marketing online and, you know, Amazon does stuff, FedEx, everybody's like doing stuff online as well. I'm like, I could just see, you know, you probably have some t-shirts for sale or just different things that make people say, oh, so you were at DFW. So you were in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Okay. And this is what you brought back, or this is what you sent us.
Yep, you got it. You've hit all points, Chris. And you know, a lot of people who are intentional about how they support, you know, the local markets that they're in would appreciate having this access, even if it's in an airport. And I think that's where the team at DFW Airport under Ken Buchanan really thought about this. How do we increase that local presence here, even in the airport? And that's what we will do, and how we will outfit this location will have so much about the story of Bon-Ton and how this nonprofit came to be in a community like Bon-Ton. And so I think, you know, when we have looked at what this could look like, I did have a lot of hesitancy. I had a lot of hesitancy because I had to think about, was this going to be worth the investment of time and resources that we would put into it, not knowing the economics of the airport. And what really kind of pushed me into the go mode was having a meeting with Ken and him showcasing to me the numbers, the things that are happening in DFW Airport, the concession owners that are already there and what they are experiencing as revenue opportunities, but also just them showcasing their exposure.
Yeah, getting their stories out.
Yeah. And I thought that was pretty amazing to see. And when I think about, you know, the community members that we're walking with every day and talking to them about having their picture in the airport or a video of them in the airport, how great is it when some haven't even been to the airport before? We want to increase their opportunity to see the world and see more hope in this world.
Right.
And this type of opportunity does that.
It really does. Again, it kind of opens some eyes. For a lot of people, it's one thing to say, well, you know, I've never been out of Texas. I've grown up in Texas my whole life. I've never been out of Texas. There are some people who have never been out of their neighborhood. And
you
this is
it.
An opportunity. It's like, guess what? You will be paid doing something that you love to do anyway, and you'll have an opportunity to not only be outside of your neighborhood, but you'll have an opportunity to possibly meet people from all over the world. And people from all over the world who might have some of the same ideas and thought processes that you have.
You got it. And it's, you know, giving that lens to what's happening behind the scenes, even if you've been in the airport, and I've been in the airport a lot.
Oh, yeah.
This is a whole nother view of the airport that
you never thought really, about.
Yeah. As consumers, you don't really think about. And I have appreciated what all it takes to be an airport concession vendor. And I think that what we're learning now is definitely what we're going to transfer over to the community so that they can have more knowledge, awareness, and ability to be concession owners.
You know what I also love about DFW Airport and all the local airports here, including Love Field, that do a really good job of empowering the small business owners or people who are from this area who want to kind of showcase the area. In other
you
words, like, what I'm trying to say is it's not just cookie cutter. DFW Airport looks just like LAX or looks just like LaGuardia or they're the exact same. There's a gate over here and it's the same foods, the same T-shirts or the same, you know what I'm saying? Except for the
you
different name on the city. So I love the fact that they're empowering small businesses. And I'm going to say this, and you probably know something about this. And if you don't, your jaw might drop. Did you know, and I bet you do know this, Dirk Nowitzki even has a store in DFW.
Is that
a little restaurant store? Isn't that amazing?
It is. I mean, I think people would be very shocked on who has a foot into airport concessions. I mean, former Representative Helen Giddings is another example, and she's outstanding in it. I'm looking to learn so much from her. It's just a different market and a different world to me that has opened up to not just the organization of Bon-Ton Farms, but the Bon-Ton community. And that's huge.
So let's talk about Bon-Ton Farms a little bit more for those who are either unfamiliar or need a refresher. Again, I think what you guys have been doing for years is so admirable. Can you talk about how Bon-Ton Farms was first started? And then how long you've been in place. And then we'll talk about the growth a little bit, about the extra acres down there off I-20.
Yes. So we really started as a way to really change the landscape of food insecurity in the community of Bon-Ton. Bon-Ton is in a food desert, and Dallas actually has 43 food deserts across the city. And when you look at what that means, it means that access to a grocery store, access to fresh produce, fresh food is limited. On average, before we became into the community and addressing this, it was an hour and 15 minutes to get, you know, on a bus and be able to route yourself to an actual grocery provider or fresh food provider. And that's that shouldn't be the case. We're in a
Near
city, y'all.
downtown. Yeah.
Yes, you can see downtown from the levee that is in Bontang, but to be able to access the resources down there, it seems like a lifetime away. And if you don't have that type of access, then that causes a really detrimental effect to your health, which then will cause a detrimental effect to your income because you can't work if you are unhealthy or if you're sick. And so I think understanding that food is really, I know we all think that education is the equalizer, but really food is the equalizer. Because if I have a child and my child is not able to get the sustenance that it needs, especially in those 0 to 5 years of brain development, then how that has an impact on their ability to be educated is what starts to happen. And we are not, as a society, really intentional on ensuring that all ages are getting this type of nutrition, which then can defer a lot of the health crises that we're seeing today.
Exactly.
And so that's what we're really that's how we really started out. But if you know anything about a food desert, then you know there are a lot of other deserts. And so our hashtag is more than a farm, and we had to be because being in the community, we saw other real challenging issues really centered around the social determinants of health, things like housing, people not having a place to live or suffering from the housing crisis that we have here in Dallas. We also, like I said, had a transportation issue. We are in a desert of reputable financial institutions. There's a lot of predatory lenders, but reputable financial institutions are few and far between.
I know what you're saying. You're like, okay, there's a pawn shop down here. There's another
You
place that
got
got some
it.
entry. We'll cash your check for you
Check
and get you.
cashing. Yep.
Yes.
And I'll take about 40% of your check.
Right, as opposed to banks and loan institutions.
You got it. You got it. And so, and then you look at the health wellness disparity that's here, and then the access to it. The community was really used to having to go to Parkland ER in order to get any type of health care needs addressed.
And can I say this real
And
quick, Gabe?
yeah.
I got to say this because a lot of people, well, Parkland's right there. No, it's not. It's on the
No.
other side of downtown. It's closer to I-35 than 75.
And it's almost a 2-hour bus ride to get to Parkland. And so when you think about these challenges that a community like Bontang is faced with, that takes away your hope, Chris. It really makes you in a state of depression because you don't think that anybody cares. You don't think that you can ha see your way out of this type of challenge. And so what we really started then doing is being hope dealers, showcasing to people that there is hope, that there is opportunity that we will provide you access to. And that's what we've continued to do, is either provide the access or build the access. And that's a little bit going into our expansion that we really announced last week, which was two groundbreakings, one for our resource center. And our resource center is going to have one-on-one mental health counseling rooms. It
Oh,
will
good.
also be a space for our apprentices to have their classes. And it will be a space where we have our Bontangpreneurs. So those are our entrepreneurs that we've grown out of the Bontang community, have a space where they can sell their products or services. So this resource center is going to serve multiple facets of the needs of the community. And then the other groundbreaking is a 36-unit apartment complex that will be a mixed-income community. Our hope is that some of the teachers from the elementary school, H.S. Thompson, will be able to live there because it'll be a safe and affordable apartment complex community, as opposed to them having to live so far out from
Right.
their place of work because they're not, teachers are never paid what they are owed. My mom's a retired school teacher, so I lived that life. And we want to make it to where we're building community. Think about teachers and the police officers living together with the community. Sure. That's how I grew up. You know, that's living and being in community with each other really allows for that connection to be made and that access to be there, that education on all fronts to be there. And so that's what we envision with the apartment complex. And then we also last week had a ribbon cutting ceremony for our wellness center, which will open in February of 2025. And in that center, we will have Methodist Hospital Systems doing the primary care needs. We'll have Baylor Scott & White doing the programming. So that's everything from nutrition classes to exercise classes. We'll also have dental services being offered out of this center. And we brought 9 banks together to really tackle this predatory lending issue that is pervasive in the community of Bonton. And I can't tell you how excited we are to have the doors open and have a grand opening ceremony for the Wellness Center. But these are what we have constantly tried to tackle these issues. And we'll have buildings now that will allow us to have a space and a place to really increase and just have this flywheel motion on transformation happening.
This is absolutely amazing. And again, it didn't happen overnight. Sometimes you have to prove yourself to people. You have to.
You got it.
What K-Dot say? Yeah, pop out and show them something. Kendrick Lamar. Yeah, pop out and show them something. And Bonton Farms has been there for a lot of people, but you have to show, you know, the people who want to partner with you, who want to invest in you, that they're not throwing their money away, that they're just patting somebody on the head, that this is actually going to create change on the positive side of things.
Yeah. And it takes all of us. You talk about the collaboration. I want your listeners to understand they're a part of it, too. It's going to take us all being in this together to make this true transformation happen. And another point I want to make that this is not just for Bonton. This is not a secret that we're trying to keep. For the technology people out there, you know, think about this being an open source platform. We want people to learn from us. We want to share all of our challenges as well as how we've gotten to the wind so that they can get to the wind quicker. We see that this model that has been created is something that can be replicated, not just across the Dallas area, not just across the state of Texas, but across the country.
Exactly.
And so our efforts are really to showcase how this can be done and really putting the community at the forefront of everything.
You know, what's amazing and impressive. Sometimes you reach out and try to make, you know, connections and partnerships with organizations or corporations that could, you know, help speed the process along. And sometimes you're doing things so good or so well or so important that people notice, like you mentioned, you know, the company with DFW Airport that you're going to partner with, they heard about you through a mutual company. And the thing that's so wild is your efforts are being noticed whether you get the immediate response or not. And that's why I like showcasing, you know, different groups and organizations getting things done and creating the change that we all want. I'm saying that
Thank
only to
you.
Say this, you guys have been doing this along the way for a little while now, and you've made progress and you're able to hire a lot of different people and help them be self-supportive. Can you talk about the different job opportunities that Bonton Farms has afforded a lot of people in the community and who come to the community?
Yes, definitely. We have 5 social enterprises today. We have a restaurant, we have a coffee shop, we have a farmer's market, we have a preservatory, which is where we make all of our jams, jellied, and pickled items. And then, of course, we have the farms. We have one here in Bonton and then another one 12 minutes away, which is a 40-acre farm. All of these create the...
Wait. Is it 40 acres on purpose?
40 acres and a mule.
Is there a mule out there somewhere?
We have 2 of them now.
Look
we
out.
Have 2 mules now. So yes, it is very intentional. And our Our real desire is to continue to increase those that we're walking alongside that are in our apprenticeship, because these great people coming from the community with various backgrounds are getting a new start. And we're not just looking at it from an economic perspective or a job only perspective. They are having what we call these seven human essentials addressed in their apprenticeship. So think about transportation, education, the financial wellness, think about their health, their overall health, and of course, housing. We also look at, you know, the economic ability for not just them to work with us, but we have amazing industry partners that create this next stage, this next dignified step in livable wages that we connect them to after they have graduated from our program. That's what makes the sustainability happen for the community members. And that's what continues to grow the Bon-Ton community to be in this advancement of a thriving community. And we have to have this long-term, as you said before, Chris, plan on how we're going to get there. And yes, we've shifted and moved several times, but we are now over 10 years old, and the progress that we've made in this 10 years is remarkable. And we want to continue this flywheel motion that we have on this. But the seventh human essential in this is community. And we can't do this without being in community. We can't do this in some remote situation. It's all about proximity, because you learn so much being in proximity with others. And what we know is that man is not an island. God did not create us to be alone. He created us to be together. And we invite your listeners to come down and be a part of the community, support the social enterprises, support the great apprentices that are in our program, because you're supporting the thriving ability for the community to be transformed.
Yes. And like I said, there's ways you can do that. I mean, a variety of ways. You can find it on the website, but I was going to, and we're going to talk about the website in just a second here, but I always found it very amazing and how you can basically baby step it or find your own comfort level as you visit Bon-Ton's, whether it's just online. And you say, okay, maybe we'll go out there to the coffee shop, or maybe we'll go out there for breakfast. Next thing you know, you say, oh, let me help out on the farm. You just never know what might happen. And you have a calendar of events. I know we're in the middle of the wintertime, but I really enjoyed the jazz and the indoor, outdoor, and the restaurant. And it's available for like groups to have their organizational event there, right?
Definitely.
Hey, I'm not going to say it's too late for the Christmas party, but it kind of is. But still, you know, the things that happen in the summer or the spring, you say, let's have our company do something different, or let's have our group meeting over here this time as opposed to over there. And I just think that's just some opportunities that a lot of people don't even think about unless you kind of think outside the box, or you know, dare to be different or dare to be great.
Yes, we totally invite that opportunity for people to consider your team building activity with us. You can volunteer and then have lunch with us after you've done your volunteer duties. Or, as you said, host your event. You're having people coming in town. We can host a dinner for you here at the farm. We'd love to have more farm to table dinners where we're also educating you about what you're eating and why, and why it's important for the body. So there's so many different things, and we're an innovative nonprofit that are that's always wanting to hear more and listen to ideas from others on how we can increase not only the engagement with partners like your listeners, but also become an educator to you all as well. So anything is on the table for us now.
Oh yeah, I mean, just think outside of the box. It's so amazing, especially nowadays when more and more people or more interested in their health. Their mental health is also right there, but their physical health as well. And like, okay, there's Whole Foods over here, there's Central Market over there, there's Market Street over here. And guess what? Bon-Ton Farms, straight, like you said, from the farm to the dining table. And it's so fresh and it's so good. And that's what a lot of people are looking for, as opposed to just the generic cookie cutter, whatever you might get in the stores that are, you know, readily available to a lot of different neighborhoods, but not necessarily all the neighborhoods.
You got it. You got it. And we want to increase our ability to serve people in various ways. And I think, we've expanded our reach. We have catering options. We can
Oh,
actually
look
come to
out.
you. Yeah, so
That's
we can
great.
come to you all and be able to also have the story be told about Bon-Ton, the community, and Bon-Ton Farms.
You know what? I got to pause right here and elaborate right this, because this is so great. In this day and age, everybody getting Uber Eats and, whatever food delivered to your home some kind of way. Well, why not? Why not Bon-Ton Farms, have delivery service as well? And catering for a big party or whatever.
Yes, sir. We can do all of those things because we have an amazing team that's really making this all possible. So, and then we also just ask for people to consider in your last minute shopping, the gifts that we have. We have amazing gift boxes that have
Oh, nice.
various themes. You can have a healthy wholeness box where we have a coffee scrub in there. We have our coffee box that has our partnership with White Rhino Coffee showcasing the Bon-Ton Farms blend. And then we have our famous honey butter and jam in another box. So please consider in your last minute shopping the gift boxes that we have available as well.
Gabe, where is the website, and is there anything else we want to make sure people know about Bon-Ton Farms, this
Yeah,
particular end
so
of the year, beginning of next year?
you got it. So Bon-Ton Farms is really grateful to have various partnerships, but the partners that are so significant to us are the individuals that dedicate time to come down or dedicate resources to us. That can be done through websites, through our social media platform. So please follow us on any social media platform that you are on. It is just Bon-Ton, Bonton Farms with an S. And our website is bontonfarms.org. So please reach out. Happy to engage with anyone that's wanting to know more about us.
It's just fantastic. Again, she is Gabe Madison, the president of Bon-Ton Farms, where the bottom line is where health, wholeness, and opportunity are the norm. And they are changing things. Amazing organic farm, changing lives and systems of inequity in the heart of South Dallas. Gabe, thanks again for the update, and I will see you before you know it.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Thanks to your listeners and happy holidays to you all.
Our next guest, he's another great friend, Dave Swavey, the executive director of Guns and Hoses of North Texas. Dave, thanks for stopping down and visiting with us over the holidays, especially because you're in Virginia right now, aren't you?
Yes, sir, actually, and I appreciate you guys inviting us up. We always enjoy talking to you, Chris. You're a great friend. And yeah, I'm up here with our police elite boxing team kids from the Garland Police Boxing Gym, trying to get on the what is called the elite team to qualify for the 28s.
For those who don't know, Guns and Hoses is of the Foundation of North Texas. Is a nonprofit organization dedicated to providing immediate financial assistance to the families of fallen police officers and firefighters lost in the line of duty. And you were just saying to me off the air that this has been a tough last 30 days. Can you kind of go into that just a little bit?
It's, November, December across the country has always been considered one of those time windows where it seems we lose additional first responders probably more than other times of the year. And unfortunately, this year we got plagued with three that we've lost, since November the 28th. And actually, one of our near dear friends, Officer Cooper Dawson, who once was a Garland police officer who perished out in the city of Greenville. And then shortly after him, Jacob Candanoza from Terrell PD. And we were notified a couple of days ago for Isaiah Bias from the Ellis County Sheriff's Department was killed by an inmate while transitioning from one jail cell to another. Ironically, all three of these young men were all soon to be 28 or 28 years old. All three of them, young families. Such a trying time too. I mean, the some pressure that exists with just trying to get through the holidays. And then to now be dealing with the loss of a loved one, it just emphasizes and, you know, brings to mind just how precious life is.
It really does. And again, we always say something special about the first responders and educators. We call those real heroes. And you just given some examples about how they've lost their lives, but their families and their loved ones, they're still around. And this is a tough time of the year for them. Let me say this, and then I want you to say a little bit more. But for those who don't know, the Guns N' Hoses Foundation, North Texas, that's providing that immediate assistance to 19 counties in North Texas, including Collin, Cook, Dallas, Denton, Ellis, Erath, Hood, Hunt, Johnson, Jones, Kaufman, Navarro, Palo Pinto, Parker, Rockwall, Somerville, Tarrant, Taylor, and Wise. And that's all these counties equating to over 20,000 sworn peace officers, reserve officers, certified firefighters, and volunteer firefighters. I hate to say you've been busy, and that's on the bad side of it, but at the same time, you guys provide such a service that a lot of people don't even know about. And that's why I think it's important to remind people that you're there. Guns N' Hoses is there.
Yes, sir. And you know, providing with the resources that we're connected to, there's a lot of our partners, such as Walmart and restaurants, you know, just to name a few, Primo's and places like that, Rudy's Barbecue, they'll assist us in other ways. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, you know, feeding the families when this first occurs. I mean, mm-hmm. there's going to be a huge influx of officers and firefighters responding to that city. For example, Officer Dawson was the first officer killed in well over 100 years in the city of Greenville. So it's the national response of when they lose the first that we usually get such a large influx of officers from all over the world, not just the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. To represent. And so there's needs, hotels and things of that nature. So we use our partners in a lot of regards, not just the financial. You know, our biggest important part of this is to put money in the hands of the family so that they can just, you know, move forward. And it comes to mind one that my wife delivered a check to, the surviving spouse said, "Oh my God, you know, I was worried because I had 14-year-old twin boys and they were getting ready for school and mm-hmm. we were going to have to spend money on things that they were going to need." So you just don't know what the expectations are, but it's very important, partly because, you know, they're insured via the state and the federal government, but they may not see any financial support from them for up to 24 months.
Yeah, that's a fact. A lot of people aren't even aware of. They're thinking, okay, they've got some kind of insurance or they got something. And through all the paperwork and red tape, they may not see that money for months. In the meantime, fortunately, Guns N' Hoses, a lot of the time, has been able to step into the breach. And as you mentioned, it's one thing, the finances, but you mentioned some of the partnerships with other organizations who provide things that people just forget about. Like you mentioned, they might need to stay in a hotel for a little while. They might need to, you know, who's going to feed them right now? It's kind of like if you have a family and someone passes away in the family, it's like, okay, then everybody brings over some food for the family, some kind of way. And they're there with for the grieving and whatnot. But yeah. Guns N' Hoses, you know, as I mentioned, you know, firefighters and first responders and police officers, it's like a brotherhood, sisterhood itself. It's like you guys share a bond because no one's promised for tomorrow.
No. And for those poor staff members, police and fire, that still have to work the streets, can't attend, can't visit.
That's right. They're still working. Yeah,
the other cities have to contribute. Greenville, Terrell, for example, they had to use officers from other cities just to answer the calls and work the streets because there were so many officers affected by this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have to release them from duty and give them a time to repair and respond. And it's all hands on deck, as we used to have the beer from Lakewood Brewery that we, it was called All Call because when the bell rings, we're all coming.
Yeah. It's, we're talking again with Dave Swaby with Guns and Hoses, the nonprofit that takes care of the families who lose members of first responders, firefighters, police officers, law enforcement. And some of these stories that you're telling, they actually can help people because a lot of people just don't know. It's almost like, okay, yep. First responders are kind of like superheroes and you know, oh, they, we lost one. And then what happens? Well, guess what? Their families are still there, or the people that they're still working with, or they worked with, are still there, and they have to, you know, keep a stiff upper lip and chins up and continue to do their jobs and be with their families and life goes on. So I love the fact that you guys are there in the breach. And the question I wanted to ask, especially nowadays, since a lot of people talk about mental wellness, I'm sure you guys provide links or at least phone numbers with grief counselors or people who need to turn to someone, whether it's, you know, religious or whether it's even just people who are dealing with situations where they've lost people before and they can handle and be a grief counselor.
Yeah, there's so much being looked at nowadays. I don't want to say the 500-pound gorilla in the room, but there was definitely closeting how people, you know, suck it up, buttercup was a common term used back in the day. You know, are we a different society than we were back then? No, I think we just, it came out in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Alcoholism, things of that nature, divorce, things. And people are just a little less resistant to hiding their emotions. And so therefore, it's had to been addressed. And it was something that was looked at for many years. So there is a lot of departments, Garland, Allen, with Steve Dye being the new chief up there. They're looking at mental health and fitness. And creating some rooms like a relaxation room. Garland's got one where they can just go in. They've got massage chairs and things, you know, nice, easy, soft music, soft lights. And an organization came out of this called Never Walk Alone, which the Garland Police Department helps not only the first responders, but all the employees that work in the department. So it's a moving dollar, you know, as we budget and, you know, and see where costs are associated. Yeah, there's money being spent on that now. And I hate to say this, but it always seems to happen, and you being in the industry for as many years as you were, Chris, when a celebrity starts suffering, people look at it like, oh my God, they're a multimillionaire. What's the reason? And so because of what's happened in some of these larger environments, baseball, football, guys taking their own lives, people are taking a different look at this.
Yeah.
You know, why would somebody of such wealth feel so bad about themselves? And it's interesting, you know, social media has kind of changed us. I think I heard where there was a psychologist that flies with the NBA and said, you wouldn't believe how depressed some of these NBA players are because they have zero interaction with each other.
That's true. And that's just with all sports. That's a lot of people, especially coming off the pandemic. I found that when I talked to a lot of educators, Dave, that, you know, a lot of kids, because they were isolated and they were just virtual learning, they weren't even around their friends like they used to. And it actually caused some problems. And then if they're spending a great deal of time on social media, you know, that's a lot of information that they have to sort through that maybe they're not mentally prepared for. I'm talking about, you know, they might be 17, 18 years old, but, you know, they're not mentally prepared for the bullying or what's real information, what's false information, or what's going on in the world that they had no idea, or we had no idea going on. We were like in high school, like we didn't know what was going on the other side of the world. And now they're looking at, oh, it's stress related. Well, it is, because they're overthinking. And I can see first responders or firefighters kind of in the same boat, educators as well, because they're like, and sometimes you feel like you're stressed and sometimes you feel helpless. But at the same time, as you mentioned way back when, well, they would kind of solve it with some alcohol, or they would solve it with some sort of self-medication. And now we kind of know why. It's the stress of what we do.
Well, and then And I was in the, you know, I was a member of the military. My wife was, we were both in the Air Force.
And thank you for your service.
Army. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. The perception was every 18-year-old kid saw combat. Well, we all know in Vietnam, probably 10% actually saw active combat of the 800 plus thousand were cycled through Vietnam. So we just see somebody going overseas, we assume. But yet you take a police officer to firefighter and you're thinking as a civilian, well, he's in my neighborhood. None of that's really going on. So it took multiple years and several incidents to occur for people to start getting the understanding that we over time have seen much more than, say, somebody in active duty military. Over the course of 30 years, I can't even begin to tell you what I witnessed, you know, throughout my career. Mm-hmm. And it's just a different mindset. I'm glad that we're moving in that direction. The pendulum swings very slowly. But here again, it's another dollar cost figure that some cities aren't prepared to, so it requires people like Guns and Hose foundations like ours to step up and see where we can assist them, because they can't. Chief Brown, before he left Dallas Police, I remember vividly him saying, the problem with police work is nowadays you're expecting us to do too much.
Yeah.
And that's true. And
yep.
The bucket has a hole in it. You'll never fill it.
Yep. Chief Brown was so brilliant. I mean, he said, I'm kind of elaborate on what his statement was. He was saying, you expect when we show up to be a teacher, to be a psychiatrist. It's like, here come the police, and then sort it all out for us.
Yeah. Well, and we were the answer. And before we leave, we're now the victim, because you didn't want us to take that person to jail. You just wanted us to stop him.
Right.
From whatever.
And you don't know all the details until you get there.
No. And God forbid, could you ever imagine a 15-year-old female bringing a gun to school and taking her own life after killing two? I couldn't even fathom how that's evolved to where we're at there now with Wisconsin, with what just happened in Wisconsin and affecting so many families. But a female with a gun, I just would have never saw that.
Exactly. We're talking with Dave Swavey. He's the executive director of Guns and Hoses, the nonprofit foundation in North Texas, assisting families of fallen officers, fallen firefighters. You came up with the idea for Guns and Hoses in 2002. What made you think of the idea of creating this nonprofit?
Well, there was two roads of thought, and it started back in 1989. I was involved in the apprehension of a suspect that had killed one of our very first officer in Garland, November the 15th, 1989, Gerald Walker. He was killed on a traffic stop. The suspect was en route to kill eventually four of his family members or people that he had done dealings with, drugs and what have you, to include a 12-year-old girl. And his wife, our officer's wife, was an employee of the city, and she worked in the courts. So we saw her every day. I began to see the digression of her. And moving forward, I had a desire to assist kids when I was in charge of the gang unit back in the 90s to try to get them off the street. And again, budgetary restraints dictated how much money I was going to get when I started my boxing gym. So it was kind of happening out of my own credit card to the point where my wife said, you got to stop this. And lo and behold, a gentleman by the name of John Brown at the time owned Ringside Boxing Manufacturing Company and said, have you ever heard of this thing, Guns and Hoses? And I said, no, sir. What are you talking about? And he said, well, it's where police and firemen box every year. They get together and the money they raise goes to families of fallen. And it was out of St. Louis. And I had an opportunity to visit with the people in the positions of power over there. And with some help from friends and family, we were able to put together an organization called Guns and Hoses and actually had our very first event with the help of a wonderful mayor who since passed on. John Monaco was the mayor of the mm-hmm. city of Mesquite at the time, and he had influence over the rodeo over there, Resist All Arena. We were able to get our first event, and boy, it's taken off since.
It really has. And for those who aren't familiar, you should be. If you ever listen to any of these stations, including 105.3 The Fan, you've heard us talk about the Guns N' Hoses boxing event and the money that it raised. And it's such a wonderful thing. It usually happens in the fall around September or October. Can you talk about that a little bit and then talk about some of the other things that you guys have done to help raise families, raise monies for these families, including, I want to say, I think you take some kids out for the holidays on some shopping spree sometimes.
Oh man, Chris, we just did that one. Matter of fact, I was going to call you to see if you wanted to peek in. We did. I'm out of town, but my wife and members of the board went down and fed. I think there was 110 kids.
Wow, that's nice.
That came to receive an opportunity to go Christmas shopping with the Garland Fire Department. But we've been very fortunate here. You know, we get to draw from a large community because, like you said, we respond to the 19 counties in North Texas. We also get to draw from them when it comes to the boxing event. And annually, we put out a wanted poster through the efforts of the Public Information Officers, PD and FD, and we attract firefighters and police officers to come in and apply for the night to box. And with that, we end up with somewhere around 100 applicants. We select them and hope to come up with about 20 to 22 bouts, knowing on game night we're going to be down to around 17 due to many issues that happen in public safety, injury, divorce, termination, you name it. So there's a litany of things. And if we can make it through, then we're going to entertain about 5,000 people at the wonderful Allen, what is now called the Credit Union of Texas Event Center. And
it's nice.
With a host of people, we're able to, you know, fortunately for those that are firefighters, yes, they won again. But
it's very competitive.
Very. But I truly believe, and I've seen this happen years before in St. Louis, it's a reunion of sorts.
Yeah.
It's people aren't necessarily, yeah, they're there for the camaraderie and the support of their blue or red, but it's more of a annual get together that really just makes my heart feel good to see police officers and firefighters extending their hands after the tournament's over with and having a beer together over at Kelly's when we're over. It's because when I first came here, my wife became the very first female firefighter paramedic in Plano history. Plano was just a fledgling young town. And now look at it. It's one of the major cities in the Metroplex. So a lot of our towns in the 80s didn't exist, and a lot of people from Dallas and Fort Worth really weren't prepared and didn't understand the needs of the other cities. So now it's a much bigger, broader camaraderie. It's a metropolitan area, really, where today you may be working for the city of Dallas. You know, there's this internal transitional stuff where you can start as a cop here and then move to this one. There's a lot of lateral transfers that take place, shortened academies and whatnot. So there's a lot of intermingling budgetary wise. We haven't been able to really find a good employment pool with the exception of the people that are already won. So it's a good opportunity and we have a great time. I know that Kelly's, the restaurant across, says it's their biggest night of the year that
wow.
they have, and we love the support and the partnership that we get from them. But at the end of the day, we're able to continue to contribute to these families, and we do it, you know, within that first 48 if they allow us in, and then we come back at the first Christmas and donate money to them once again, and then each child receives $1,000 commitment from us to allow them for further education or put towards a car, whatever it is they want to do upon graduation.
That is fantastic. And I also understand that you guys also contribute to some of the children's charities that are supported by the local police and fire departments in those different counties as well.
Yes, sir. We love Camp Moss, which is run via the hospital, the Children's Hospital. And actually, Denise Hunter, one of our widows, her daughter was a recipient of 7, I believe, maybe 8. Open heart surgeries. And She was actually waiting to go to camp when her father, Sergeant Gregory Hunter of Grand Prairie, was killed in the line of duty. So big passionate thing for what she was through and had to go through. And we support that one. And also the one that's very near and dear to all of our hearts is Heather Miller had a son named Ben who wanted to play Little League Baseball. And he's physically, mentally handicapped to an age to where he was no longer going to be able to participate. So she started the Buddy League, and that thing has several hundred kids that are through all walks of life, police, fire, that are part of it, whether they're cheerleaders. And the Buddy League consists of you hit the ball and you either carry the kid around the bases for a home run, push him in his wheelchair, or he, assisted by someone, gets to run the bases. And everybody gets to participate. Everybody gets a home run. And it just makes the heart feel good when you see these kids smile, and the families obviously love the support.
Yes, the support is amazing. Again, Guns N' Hoses Foundation of North Texas. Dave, we cannot do this without you. Where can they find out more information about Guns N' Hoses Foundation of North Texas?
Well, sir, you can go to our Facebook or our website, you know, Guns N' Hoses Foundation of North Texas.org, or you can just go type in Guns N' Hoses North TX. And go to our Facebook page and listen. I know that this is a strenuous time of the year. I heard on the news that the average expense for somebody for Christmas is over $400 per child. And, you know, it's a tough time. But if there is a dollar or somebody wanting to find an organization to contribute, we would surely appreciate it. Like we said, we have three young families out there that are now without their fathers. We will remain and our struggles are real. We hope in remaining a partner with 105 and all the wonderful guys and ladies that work behind the scenes. We truly couldn't do it without you guys and the outreach that you guys create for us.
Dave, you guys are amazing, and thank you again for joining us. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.